Meeting. Sound bit. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Monday Night Raws. It's August 22nd, 2016. Once again, we are joined by the incomparable, eternally beguiling, always totally charismatic, TV's Gabe Ross.
Will not be appearing tonight because he's suffering from emotional distress.
There we go.
Full trap.
Oh, man. I love it, dude. I absolutely love it. So, Bob?
Yeah.
There's Bob. Hi, Bob.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Bobble.
There we go. And the dream team's back together. So, real quick, let's just, for just a second, we're going to talk about it a lot on Small Package this week, but Gabe, just to get your thoughts on it, what'd you think of SummerSlam?
SummerSlam. Well, I think that it had a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think some elements were done pretty well. Other elements kind of left us hanging. So overall, in terms of a grade, because I think people can relate to grades here,
mm-hmm.
I'd give it a C, a solid C.
Okay. Bob, what would you, if you gave it a grade, what would you give SummerSlam?
I'd probably go with a B minus.
You know, I can agree with that. I would probably also give it a B minus. So I guess on aggregate, somewhere between a C plus ish, right? That would be about where we'd be between the three of us. A lot of bizarre choices in terms of arrangement of the card.
Yeah, the card order was the biggest stumbling block of the night, I think.
And also ending it with two matches concurrently that didn't really have definitive finishes. Was there any standout matches, positive or negative, for you, Gabe?
In terms of negative, and I hate going to negative because, again, give all of these guys, the workers at least, all the credit for being there, doing what they're told. Easily the match we could have done without would have been Roman and Rusev. That just was like, really? this happened? If I want to watch a match not happen, I'll watch Monday Night Raw. Bottom line.
Wah, wah. Although, it is worth noting, some people have speculated online that it's possible that when Finn got injured in the Rollins match, that maybe they audibled.
Dude, the speculation is from me right now. So don't go spreading any rumors, because I literally came up with that thought 2 minutes ago.
That still qualifies as speculation. That still qualifies as speculation, Bob. Did you not?
If one person speculates that it's speculation.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Right? You heard this speculation here first, folks.
Yeah. So there you go. I'll just, you know what? Fuck journalistic integrity. I'm just going to, I said a swear. We're trying to keep Monday Night Raw PG for you there, bud.
You just went TV-14 there. Brock, I know. Nice job.
Jesus. Well, to hell with my journalistic integrity. I'll just name my source. It was Bob. It was Bob all along, Austin. Hey, Gabe, if you want to come back in this podcast, you're going to have to kiss my ass.
I think I'll do just that, and that's the bottom line. Does Gabe Ross say so?
You're Stone Cold is not only great, but over the phone, it actually is kind of frightening to listen to the speakerphone, because it does sound kind of like we're talking to Stone Cold.
What an honor that would be to have him on the podcast. Let's get on that.
Yeah, dude. Hashtag Stone Cold to Small Package Podcast.
Hashtag Stone Cold for Small Package.
Yes. Stone Cold the number four Small Package. That's the number four, not the words the number four. Yep. Or that
we
too.
We have Twitter character limits here.
Yeah, dude. No, the whole tweet is just the hashtag Stone Cold Steve Austin, the number four Small Package Podcast. That's the whole hashtag. We're going to start putting that out there. All right. We've goofed off for like four whole minutes here. Let's get to Raw tonight. So obviously a little bit of frustration from a lot of fans over the ending of SummerSlam last night. And it definitely, at least to me, seemed like the crowd was still pretty wound up, still pretty rowdy. Gabe, what'd you think of the overall show tonight? And then we can go into some matches.
You know, going into the overall show, and keep this in mind, you know, we are at the Barclays Center. We are in New York City. These New York City fans have a tendency to be a little more wilder than your run-of-the-mill Monday Night Raw audience. Keep that in mind. They love to chant. They love to do all of that stuff. Also bearing in mind that Supernova, the guy they just put the belt on last night, now has to miss 6 months of performance because he has to undergo shoulder surgery. You know that there was scrambling behind the scenes, and I think given the last second changes, you know, they pulled a show off. It's not something I would, you know, if I were trying to get somebody into wrestling to say, oh yeah, you ought to watch this because this is the best show ever. Of course it wasn't. But they got a show on the air and did what they needed to do, so I give them all the credit in the world. Again, my favorites, I would say tonight, probably, oh, I would say maybe a little bit better than the C. I would give this probably somewhere between a B minus and a B.
So, I guess out of 5 stars, since that's
kind of how we've
been doing it, Gabe. You know, that's for right. Continuity.
Sorry, my forms of currency in the podcast are.
Maybe
are a little
you should just up. Pay attention, Mr. Ross. Jesus.
I have to pay attention on my own segment. What the hell is this?
No, man. So, what would you give it out of 5?
Out of 5 stars, wow.
Uh-huh.
I would give it probably 3.
Okay.
And I'm feeling a little generous. Probably 3 stars. The interest for me was not, I mean, I think the interest for a lot of people was, on 3 different conditions. One, what's happening now that Finn Balor has had to surrender the title? 2, what in the world is the state of Randy Orton after being massacred last night? And 3, are the rumors about the Dudley Boys true? Those 3 hooks tonight.
I don't really feel too much like the. I mean, unless I missed something, I didn't feel like they addressed Brock Lesnar very much.
I don't think they did either.
Stephanie mention that he will be seeing repercussions for his actions.
Yeah, I mean, Stephanie. Yeah, I mean, Stephanie did say there would be repercussions, but I don't remember her saying what they'd be or if we'd see him. I mean, I assumed we probably wouldn't see him, but I don't know. It's
they just ended up with repercussions.
Yeah. Bob, what would you give it out of 5 stars? What'd you feel about
that? I was actually going to go with 3 as well.
Okay.
Honestly, I think I liked tonight's Raw more than I liked SummerSlam. You know, he had the Bailey call up. That was a good moment.
Yeah, I liked it.
You know, it's exciting to see them keep doing something with the belt. I mean, obviously they had to. So, you know, setting up a Fatal 4-Way. Again, though, this all plays into what I was saying last week on our podcast, that WWE just pulls every story trigger the night after a pay-per-view. Like, why do we need the Universal Championship match next week? Make that a pay-per-view thing, you know? I'm fine with them pulling it out.
I could definitely agree with that. And they do sort of blow their load early.
Every time.
Every time, right after the pay-per-view. I guess I could see why, since Finn was confirmed injured, you know, that
they need to do something, but you don't need to make that whole tournament and then have it play out that night for the Fatal 4-Way next week. Like, have it go a couple weeks.
Yeah, I could see that. What do you think, Gabe?
Well, but here's the thing too. You're also trying to build your brand's top prize. Here's the Universal title, and right now, yeah, the Universal title is just about as bullshit as the King of the Mountain title was in TNA. You know, you had a big crowning moment for your champion, now crap. So what's going on? Well, there's basically no difference right now. I have, you know, nothing more is answered than last week's Raw, because we still don't have a champion. You know, at this point, shit, it's almost like, and pardon my French.
Okay. We gave up on this episode being PG, so.
Okay, yeah. We get one more swear, then we're off the air.
You, in all fairness.
You know, at this point, it's, you know, they've done all this hoopla to build up the Universal title, and, well, there's still no champion, so it's still just irrelevant.
Right.
And the next pay-per-view is going to be the first Raw exclusive pay-per-view. What better way to build up your brand's belt and your brand than have a your brand exclusive pay-per-view highlighted by your brand's belt?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an apples to oranges comparison, though. Here's your summer WrestleMania. This is the big thing we've been pushing to, SummerSlam. It's notoriously been, you know, this, you know, it's been the beginning of fall WrestleMania. It's like the 6 months, you know, WrestleMania.
Right.
Type of thing. Now, you know, and then you're going from, you know, doing it on a grand stage to, like, kind of indies, kind of a second tier promotion type of, you know, it just doesn't have that energy. It's not going to have that energy. Like, people are going to remember, oh yeah, SummerSlam, when, you know, the title was won, or when, you know, Lesnar beat the crap out of Orton. Now it's like, oh yeah, the Universal title, when, you know, like on that Raw, what was that pay-per-view, Backlash, Taboo Tuesday, whatever the heck it was.
And, right.
You know, some guy won the title. It doesn't have that same appeal.
Very, very true. I would, in terms of the number I would give Raw tonight, honestly, I'd go, I think, a little bit higher than both of you. Not much, but I think I'd go 3.5. And I think that part of the reason is Bayley's Raw debut was a lot of fun. And also getting to see, as Bob coined them, and I love this, and I'll push this out there, the Canadads. Getting to see the Canadads in action. They're a lot of fun.
Again, you're giving me credit for something that
you read online. Oh, well, you know what? I don't give a shit. I like you that much. I'm going to give you that credit in your name.
Well, thank you for attaching me to a libel case in the future.
Dude,
moving forward.
That's what I'm here for, Bob, is to get you into legal trouble and have a good time doing it. Right. As long as we're having a good time, who cares about the prison terms you're going to get? But that being said, also, just, you know, I felt like there was some, like, I like the New Day segment. And also, I kind of enjoyed Epico and Primo coming out and confirming that they are, in fact, travel agents, and that they were going to send the Dudleys to Puerto Rico. And then the Dudleys almost get that final moment, and they're starting to get the tables out. And then the club comes in for that nice, nice little, you know, shake of heat right on top towards the end of the show. And I enjoyed that. I felt it
was very, very, you know, a great analogy for their final WWE run.
Wah, wah, wah.
A whole lot of setup and some great thought until they got jobbed out.
And I think that's a good metaphor for what their return has been.
Yeah.
However, I'm very traditional in the fact that if this is the end of the Dudley Boys and they are going to, you know, either step down or stop being a tag team,
right,
or, you know, do whatever it is they're going to do, you know, you go out and you give them basically the last laugh. So while, yes, the beatdown of the Bullet Club would have been awesome, it would have been even better if they were just able to, hey, go right through the table, give the audience something to cheer about, because let's face it, the main event, Roman Reigns winning,
right,
did not send anyone home happy at all.
Yeah, I guess if they were going to do that, they should not have called the club out, because I definitely would not like the Dudleys going over the club. Because if the Dudleys are on their way out, going over on the club doesn't do anything for the club. Right. If you were going to do that, you could have just let them, finish their destruction of the Shining Stars. Let's be honest, Epico and Primo are not there to win the tag titles. They are at this point the definition of an enhancement talent tag team.
Absolutely.
And so you could have let the Dudleys get one over on them and get the tables. You know, but I think
just they should have just let them do the table spot and then have the club come out and beat them down.
Yeah, that probably would have been a good compromise.
I can't even remember the last time Dudley's actually hit a table spot. They teased it up for like the past few months, and every time they teased it, usually they ended up going through it themselves, or they don't even get the opportunity to get the table out there.
I think they got one or two off on the Usos on like a Raw or SmackDown, but not like on a pay-per-view and not in any memorable way.
It would have been one nice last little send-off, but who knows? Maybe we're all getting worked and they aren't even leaving.
Yeah, we were talking about if they were pulling a Mark Henry, and Bob said they're not wearing salmon colored suits. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and I had that same thought. I really thought, you know, okay, maybe this is a work. And, you know, kind of when I saw the club come out, I almost thought it was. But, you know, then again, being the fact, again, that they are enhancement talent at this point, you know, maybe it was their way of, you know, passing the torch. And if that was the metaphor we were supposed to get from this, then I didn't see it, and, you know, touche on that. I do have to point out, though, not to abruptly change subjects, but holy crap, that Titus O'Neil promo.
Oh man! Whoa. Thank you for reminding me. How bad it was! I did my best to immediately throw that out of my brain.
Oh my god!
But you got me here, so you're gonna hear about it.
Go on, Gabe.
Not taking anything away from Titus as a humanitarian, as a great representative of the WWE's community initiatives,
as a dad who kisses his son on the lips.
Cut a promo ever again.
Yeah, when he messed up like the first five lines and then like stumbled through his corrections of them, you're like, wow, this is off to a bad start. And then he just keeps fucking up. You're like, there's no redemption for you here, buddy. You just need to shut up. But then he went on for like 5 minutes.
Was Mike Adamly feeding him the lines? It must have been.
He just kept going and going, and he like repeated himself easily like two or three times. And then he beats up an old man.
He definitely did start saying something, fuck it up, and then try to like start the sentence, like, you know, just like. It's almost like he treated it like a video promo. Like he was in a studio and was like, I screwed up the line. Let's just start from the top. Who is Bob Backlund? You know? And then Bob Backlund comes out, and I love Bob Backlund, but that was the goofiest thing was him trying to put on the crossface chicken wing on Titus, as if there's some way that this 70, 80-year-old man could put Titus O'Neil in a crossface chicken wing. And Titus falls to the ground for him, but then, you know, obviously powers out of it and slams Bob Backlund. And then Darren Young got out there way too late, so he couldn't even save his teacher. His teacher's just dead. I don't even remember how that segment ended. It just kind of seemed like, didn't he power slam Darren and then was like, all right, later, and walked away?
Yeah, he did the Clash of Titus.
All right, the Clash of the Titus. That's that goofy pun. Finisher.
Something like that. I think Backlund came out late and Darren came out late because they missed the line they were supposed to have to hit the ring, and it's like, well, can't blame them there. They didn't exactly get a clean finish at the line.
They pulled a Papa Shango.
Yes.
They were just hanging out backstage, and they were like, when do we go out? And I honestly,
the conspiracy theorist in me is like, did they maybe spend all this time building up Darren Young to try to build, to transfer that to Titus for suspending him before WrestleMania? Because otherwise, I have no idea what they're doing with Darren Young right now, because he won the Battle Royale to fight Miz, right? For the IC. Right. And then he lost. And then that's just been completely disregarded. And so, I mean, obviously, I know that the brand split, they went to different shows, but it kind of feels like his push is dead in the water.
Pretty much. Pretty much. It was one of those things where, you know, it started out with, okay, this is bizarre, and then people started kind of getting behind it. All right, yeah. And finally gets the shot, and it's like, okay, we're just going to keep the belt on the Miz. And granted, Miz is a great heel. I think he does a spectacular job doing that. He's not doing anything for the IC title, though, right now. Like,
I don't know if I would say he's not doing anything for the IC title. I mean, I love the Miz. I think he's a great performer, and that he I think the important thing about the Miz is he treats the IC title like it is the be all end all. Like I think that what he does for the title is he defends it often enough. He successfully defends it often enough. He's a heel, so everyone hates him, and then he treats that title like it's important. So I would disagree that he's not good for the IC title. I just think it's weird that, okay, Darren Young lost the IC title. That's fine. But, you know, now they've got nothing for him except for this Titus O'Neil thing, which could be interesting, but it just sort of feels like they're treating Darren like they're building him up like he's sort of incompetent. You know what I mean? Like he couldn't save Bob Backlund, and then he also let himself get destroyed.
A valid counter argument.
Yeah. So Bob, was there anything that you specifically enjoyed or detested from tonight's Raw other than that awful Titus promo and the stuff we already talked about? Anything highlight or low light?
I think one of the most interesting things seen in the quote unquote new era is just the stars that are getting utilized. Case in point, the Fatal 4-Way for the belt next week. We have Seth Rollins, KO, Big Cass, and Roman Reigns. Like, that's kind of an interesting group of people. And it's kind of, it for me personally, is at least exciting to see that we're finally moving on from, like, that late 2000s era of wrestling into the 2010s era of wrestling.
Are you saying that you don't miss a Fatal 4-Way for the main championship of the show that involves either Kane or Big Show or Mark Henry?
And Triple H.
Randy Orton.
And Randy Orton.
Sheamus.
And probably Sheamus or Cena to round it out. You know, you never know. You know, it's exciting.
It is. I would agree. It's pretty exciting. Not to take anything away from, I mean, John Cena had, you know, was part of what was probably match of the night at SummerSlam. And, you know, Randy Orton is still Randy Orton. He's still great. But I agree with you. It was nice to see four young guys, and three of whom are incredibly over, and one is Roman Reigns, involved in that Fatal 4-Way. Gabe, thoughts?
I would agree. I think it's kind of interesting to see. I think Big Cass is going to be fantastic when he gets into his singles career. I'm concerned that, I don't think realistically he would wind up with the belt at this point. But, you know, once they start, you know, including him in a title picture, then, you know, that starts to raise the questions. Well, do we, you know, look to start Cass on a singles push? Do we keep him aligned with Enzo? So, you know, it concerns me because I think they still have a lot to. I think they still have a lot to give as a tag team, and I frankly would like to see them be tag team champs first before they wind up you know, doing the singles thing.
That's probably a good point.
But I do agree that I, you know, it is nice to not see the same faces over and over and over again going for the top title.
And specifically on the point of Enzo and Cass, though, and Bob, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I mean, if they did, I mean, I agree I would love to see them win the tag titles before they give Cass the push for, you know, singles gold. I've heard a lot of people say that backstage Vince has grown on, Cass has grown on Vince, and Vince loves him because he's 7 foot tall and you can't teach that. But I also feel like if they give Cass a singles run, I mean, nothing, not taking anything away from Enzo Amore's ring work, but you could definitely keep Enzo on as a manager, you know, for a Cass singles run. And I think that Enzo would be great in a manager's role.
I think he'd be fine. And just because he's a manager for Cass doesn't mean he can't do his own matches every now and then. Have him get a little, you know, dip his toes into the singles scene.
Right.
So sure, go for it. Why not? Just try out new stuff. Have fun with it. That's what the new show should be all about.
I like it. Let's coin that.
Well,
we need
exactly.
to shorten
and
the words up a little
you
bit.
You know, it is a new era, and so you have to, you know, I think at this point, they're still a month into this draft, so, you know, they're still testing the waters, and, you know, it doesn't work, but, you know, I guess ultimately time will tell just how things shake out. So I'm so excited to keep watching Raw and to see, you know, how they take these, you know, sudden vacancy of titles and turn them into what WWE does best, in the money.
Right. And we'll see what happens with next week's Raw and with tomorrow's SmackDown too. I mean, that's another whole thing we'll have to get into is, you know, maybe if you're free later this week, we can get your thoughts more in depth, not on Monday Night Raw, about SmackDown and SummerSlam, and specifically with how it kind of seemed like SmackDown was, I don't want to say shirked off in SummerSlam, but definitely, you know, having the SmackDown championship, you know, halfway through your card, I don't think helped the legitimacy of the SmackDown championship. But with that said, we gave an aggregate score of 9.5 between the three of us. So 9.5 out of 15 stars for Raw this week. Not great, I guess. Not terrible. It's just, you know, halfway in between. And we've been going for, you know, 25-27 minutes. So let's wrap this up, everybody. Gabe, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Final thoughts. You know, WWE is still the powerhouse. Obviously, they will continue to be the powerhouse. You know, it's just, as I mentioned, they're in a tough spot right now with the guy they picked being the top guy getting injured. So now they're, in essence, starting over from square one, but they always do pretty well when they start over to square one and adjust along the way, and they'll continue to do it, and I'm just excited to see what happens.
Word. I agree. Bob, let's get the fuck out of here. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to Monday Night Raw. This has been Corey Poindexter at CB Poindexter on Twitter. This is Bob Fegarty at Bob Fegarty on Twitter. Gabe, you can follow Gabe Ross at TV's Gabe Ross. That's TVS GABEROSS on the Twitter. You can follow us collectively at Small Package POD for podcast there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Monday Night Raw, and we will see you here later this week on Small Package, and also next Monday back here on Monday Night Raw. Potentially, Gabe will see what your schedule's like, and we'll try to fit it in.
Sounds good to me, guys.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.